All right, now we're ready. Now that we're not just learning for ourselves, we're learning for all of Am Yisrael. We're all connected. We love each other. Now we can connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let the Shefa flow down once our vessels are ready. All right, two V'Havdil Lecha Kamocha stories in honor of this week's Parsha, where we have the mitzvah of V'Havdil Lecha Kamocha. Story number one, the Chazon Ish was walking by one day a house. And suddenly he started running. When he got to the house, he just started running. And his students asked him, "Why, my Rebbe, were you running? He wasn't usually such a big, runner." So he said he saw a husband and wife fighting. So you think, it's a Musar lesson about the importance of not fighting or Shalom Bayis. He said, no. I saw them, and I realized that if they would see me, and they would see they were fighting, they would get really embarrassed. And I didn't want them to be embarrassed. So I don't want to be embarrassed. So he ran away to make sure that they wouldn't be embarrassed. So that was a nice story. Story number two. So there's a rabbi named Rabbi Eliyahu Lazarovitz. This is from Rabbi Pliskin's book. It's a great book. I love this sefer. So Rabbi Lazarovitz was once walking and a beggar comes up to him and says, "Can I have some tzedakah?" So like many of us may do at the Kotel sometimes, we said, "Well, do you have any change?" Because all he had was a big coin, 20 shekels, whatever, 50 shekels. So the beggar says, "No, I don't have any change." So he goes to his student and he says, "Could you give me some change?" So his student gives him, 50 shekels worth of change. He then takes the 50 shekel and he gives it all to the beggar. So the student's like, "What's the pshat? If you want him to give 50 shekels to the beggar, just give him 50 shekels. Why do you give him 50 shekels and change? It's a good kash, you know?" Yeah. Kash number two. Anybody guess? Yeah?
So when the next person asks for change,
change. Ah, exactly. You've been hearing a lot of Gadol stories. This way, when the next person who only has big change is going to ask him for a change, the beggar wouldn't have any change, and the rich person would walk away. So he said, "I'll give you change this way. When the next person comes, you'll also have change, and you can get tzedakah." That's V'Havdil Lecha Kamocha, mamash, putting yourself in another person's shoes and thinking about the other person before you just think about yourself. One last pshat. This is actually inspired by our friend Yisrael. He gave me this pshat last night. I was schmoozing with him about what does it mean about Havdol Recha Kamocha. You should love your fellow like yourself. And the pshat is like this: We are very forgiving of ourselves. At least many of us are, right? For example, it could happen once that we wake up late for shacharis, or maybe even we miss shacharis. Not this crew, but other guys and other yeshivas, right? So what do we do generally at that point? We move on and we forgive ourselves, right? Or maybe we act meanly to a person, or maybe we overeat, or whatever. We make mistakes, and what do we generally do? We forgive ourselves because, okay, we made an honest mistake, we'll try better next time. But unfortunately, sometimes when it comes to other people, when they make mistakes, we get very judgmental and we give them a really hard time. So the pshat is, V'Havdil Recha, love your fellow, kamocha. Just like yourself, just like with yourself, you're very forgiving and you're willing to look at the bright side and look past your faults. So too, we should have that attitude when thinking about when other people make mistakes. There we go. Three v'akarecha kamo chapshat for the day. I want to talk a little bit about kedoshim now. About what does it mean to be a holy yid. So the Ma'or v'shemesh is Rav Kleinemus Kalman Epstein. He's really, really high Hasidic Rebbe. The Onor Melimelch was his Rebbe. And so for those who went to Poland. And I'm named after him, actually. He's my great-great-grand-something ancestor, something like that. So we're going to learn his Torah for just a little bit today. Just a little bit of Torah. Yes, the famous question which Rashi asks, which is, why does the Parsha of Kedoshim start Vayakhel? Why does Moshe feel the need to gather the entire Jewish people before telling them to be holy, when most of the time we don't see that you got Moshe gathered everyone? So why specifically in this mitzvah does Moshe feel the need to gather everyone before telling them to be holy? You hear the kasha? Who else asked that question of why specifically in this mitzvah? The other Reb Shlomo? Rashi. No, that's the other Reb Shlomo. And then Rashi asked that kasha. It's the first kasha in the parsha. He asked, why Vayakhel? He gives one answer. Rashi says, because ro gufei haTorah, most of the Torah is dependent on this idea of being holy. And therefore, we have to gather everyone and to tell them to be holy. But the Ma'or v'Shemesh is going to give a different mahalach, a different explanation as to why it had to be within the people. So it says like this. Lahasiga kedusha, to attain holiness, hal yona ino zocha ad shiyadabek atzmo al anshe Hashem, until you attach yourself with other people ovdei Hashem be'emet, who serve Hashem for reals, ulishtatef imam yachad ba'avodah rabah, to join together with them hen betfila v'hen b'limud Torah, when they're davening or learning the ikar mitzvah hakol yeh b'knesia yachad mivakish Hashem. You should be joining with other people who are being doyresh Hashem. Then you can get the higher holiness. The more people are around being Dorash Hashem, the more there is that ability for that holiness to come upon ourselves. Okay? So in other words, why did Moshe feel the need to tell him to be holy amidst the Am? What's the pshat according to the Ma'or v'Shemesh?
That's how you become holy.
In order to be holy, what do we need to do?
Spread it around.
It needs to be a people thing. It can't just be you individually. Take tefillah, for example. Maybe I'm alone in this one, but sometimes I feel like I'd have more kavana if I didn't have to rush down to a minyan, you know, rush down to the Gotel Chop a minyan, get Baruch Shamar, get my tefillin on, and make minyan. I'd rather just stay on my roof, take my time, you know, and do it at my own pace. Right? Maybe I'm alone in this one. But sometimes you feel like you could be holier without all the tzibur stuff. But at the end of the day, we know that we're supposed to daven with a minyan. The idea is that kedusha, real holiness, is when we're bringing that sanctity to the Am, not just to us as individuals. That's the mission of the Jewish people. Oh, b'shem kol Yisrael, as we speak about doing mitzvahs for the whole Am, not just as individuals. There's also more milk downstairs, if you guys. So you keep going because our time is short. I don't want to go too long. So first of all, this is extremely relevant during this time period. Yom HaAtzmaut, Yom Yerushalayim, is a time when we're really with the Am. And you'll see on Yom Yerushalayim, the whole world is dancing together and singing together. And you might feel like, nah, I'd rather just like do my thing, learn, whatever. Why do I have to be Bittul Torah? But, you know, there's an Indian of being with the Am and joining together with the nation. And that's real Kedusha. Not just when you're learning on your own or davening on your own, but when you're bringing it to the nation. I'll tell you a little story. Yesterday, one of my Talmidim at TVA, so he took a commitment upon himself. After a Chassidus class, we all take commitments. So his commitment was on his way to work. Now they're doing work in the mornings. He's going to learn a little Gemara. So he's on the way. So he came up to me yesterday and said, Rav Keith, I took out my Gemara, and what happens? Right when I take out my Gemara, I see my good friend on the bus. So, sorry, Chaval, I wasn't able to learn the Gemara that I really wanted to learn. So I told him a story. One of my favorite stories about Rav Shlomo Karlbach. It all comes back to Rav Shlomo. So Rav Shlomo, as we know, was a very busy man, and he loved learning Torah. When he was in Torah Vadas, he would learn 30 hours a day. He thirsted for Torah. He was the top Talmud in all of Torah Vadas, being primed to be the Rosh Yeshiva. But when he was going out and doing all his outreach and his concerts, he didn't have time to learn Torah. So what was his one time when he would learn Torah? On the way to his concerts, he begged Mechila from the driver, and he said, please, I just need a little time to re-energize my neshama and to learn Gemara. So he would open up his Gemara, and he's totally immersed in the Gemara in a different world. But at the same time, every time he went to through a toll booth, and the olden days they had those toll booth people before Easy Pass, and sometimes there'd be 10 toll booth people on a given ride, he would close the Gemara, smile, schmooze a little bit with the toll booth guy, and make a joke, and make sure that the toll booth person was smiling and happy. And only then would he reopen his Gemara. In other words, Rosh Shlomo was learning that Gemara, but he was learning that Gemara for what purpose? B'shem Kol Yisrael. He wasn't just learning for his own neshama. He was learning with the intention to lift up the whole Jewish people. Right? And maybe that's why sometimes there are secular people in our country who get annoyed at people who are learning instead of going to the army. And maybe they just don't understand the value of Talmud Torah. But maybe there's a problem in that maybe we're not learning with the Kavana, B'Shem Kol Yisrael. Maybe we're not saying B'Hap L'Racha Kamocha. Maybe we're learning, but not in a way that's connected to the people or davening for our own neshamas, but not in a way that's to bring it out to the nation. So first comes first, says the Maor B'Shemesh, Kedusha has to be for the Am. Right, going back to the beginning of the Parsha, it's Parshat Emor. Achrimot. So we encounter the death of Nadav and Avihu, right? So why did Nadav and Avihu die? There's many shots, it's not clear. One explanation, according to the Midrash, is they went into the Kodesh, they went into the Holy of Holies, but why were they going? For their own spiritual pursuits, right? Now we know there's one other time when someone is allowed to go into the Holy of Holies. Who's allowed to go into the Holy of Holies? Aaron goes for who? For Klal Yisrael, B'Shem Kol Yisrael. So it's the same idea. They're going for their own spiritual desires, yearnings, but they're forgetting about the Am. They're forgetting about the nation. They're not being the Vatel themselves to the Ratzon of the Klal. And therefore, that Eish was an unholy fire. The fire has to be for the Am, not just for me as an individual. Think about it like this. Imagine you have a Stam Chiloni. When is a Stam Chiloni allowed, without any Tumah, without any spiritual preparations, allowed to go into the Kodesh Kodeshim, to the Holy of Holies?
To build it.
Or even just historically, think back just a couple of years ago. When did they actually go into the Holy of Holies? To conquer Yerushalayim, right? Just go back 50 years ago when they were, you know, shooting and being Moser Nesher for Am Yisrael. They were all running back and forth onto the Har HaBayis because they were Mahamish acting for the sake of the Jewish people. Right? It doesn't matter. At that point, whereas me, if I just want to jump to Har HaBayis without the spiritual preparations necessary because it's just my own spiritual pursuit, not for the sake of the Am, it's missing something. It's missing something. So, Bezrat Hashem, we should be zoiche, to be holy. Be holy to not just be animals, but to think before we act and to prepare ourselves. I'll give you one last teaching, and then we'll sum it up. So what does it mean to be holy? We talked about how we need to be holy with the nation, with the klal, not just as individuals. What does it mean to be holy? So what? I'll tell you about my dinner last night. Okay? In my dinner last night, I planned on not overeating. Okay? Why? Because I know of the Ramban, the famous Ramban in this week's parsha that says that there's such a thing as a glutton, a novel birshus Torah. And you could be fulfilling all the Torah, right? But you're still not holy. How so? You're acting animalistically. You're reacting. You're acting like an animal, whether it's sexual desires or getting angry or food. It could be you're not technically violating the Torah, but there's a way of a holy Yid. He's in control. He acts for Kadosh Baruch Hu. So overeating is not in the way of a holy Yid. And so I planned on not overeating at dinner. So what did I tell myself? I made a big bowl of salad because I was really hungry, because I had missed lunch. And I said I'll only eat half. At least I said that in my head. And what ended up happening, I'll admit it in front of you guys, because we're close. I ate the whole bowl of salad. It was way too much salad, and I didn't feel so good afterwards. And then my chakras wasn't as good this morning. So what's the lesson that we are to learn from this big mistake that I made?
Don't make yourself the whole salad.
Only put half the salad in the bowl. Once you're eating, you're never going to be able to hold yourself back. Okay? And that, my friends, is also a key to Kedusha. If you want to be holy people, think ahead. Think what college you're going to. Think what you're doing next year. Think what environment you're putting yourself in. Think what stores you're going to. Think where you're walking to. Think how much salad you put in your bowl. And if we think ahead when we're not in the midst of that animalistic salad desires, we'll be able to be holy, holy people. I miss the Jewish people. B'shem Kol Yisrael. So this week, B'ezrat Hashem, for every mitzvah we do, let's try to think B'shem Yuchud, B'shem Kol Yisrael, for the sake of the holiness of the Jewish people. And B'ezrat Hashem.